Good afternoon. As always, we acknowledge and thank the Froelich Financial Group for sponsoring our afternoon call of three wonderful afternoons a week. We continue study of contemporary halacha topics, and today we're going to look at, I think, a fascinating topic which may not any longer be directly relevant, but remains indirectly. A few more copies here. Indirectly, which is the origin of the halacha of wearing a yarmulke, of wearing a kippah. By a show of hands, how many wore a yarmulke to work when working? Okay, many left their hand down. I'm relieved to see that Rabbi Levine put his hand up. Wore a yarmulke to work. Baruch Hashem. If you're a chinuch or you're a rabbi, that's an important thing to do. No one had said anything. Oh, no one had said anything. Yeah. So we're going to examine this question of the halacha, some of the halachas. Several issues come up with wearing a yarmulke in the workplace. And of course, it begins with a discussion of the yarmulke altogether. It's not pashut. It's not so obvious today. I think the pendulum has swung back, unfortunately and tragically, in some ways. I know that it wasn't that long ago. It was a generation ago. Both my father and father-in-law, I don't think I embarrass either of them by saying that certainly early in their careers, they didn't wear a yarmulke at work. That was the thing that was done. A Jew wore a yarmulke at work. They might not have work. It could prevent them from actually receiving employment. People could discriminate against them. It could be even dangerous. And then the pendulum swung where my generation, one has no hesitation whatsoever to wear a yarmulke at work. Not only would it not be a liability for some, it might even be a virtue. You'll get more business, better business, demand better respect, hopefully, even by wearing the yarmulke. And tragically and sadly, it seems in our time, God forbid, that the pendulum is swinging back again, where maybe it's not so simple and it's not so clear that it's not dangerous or no one will discriminate by wearing a yarmulke to work. So the question of a yarmulke in the workplace is a generational question, and we should never get overly confident that this is a hurdle which has been surpassed and that there's no looking back. On page number one is an old article from the New York Post in which there was a lawsuit. An Italian man walks into a consulting firm wearing a yarmulke. What happened? This 29-year-old man of Queens had a federal court, Manhattan lawsuit that he claimed he donned the religious head cover in the office while practicing an obscure spiritual philosophy. But the non-Jewish man's colleagues at McKinsey and Company apparently thought wearing the Jewish skullcap wasn't kosher and unleashed a torrent of taunts at the Astoria, Queens resident. He claims his boss sent an email likening him to Kabbalah fan Madonna, which is a tremendous insult. Definitely can sue for that. For his sudden embrace of Judaism, while another coworker suggested he was just trying to hide his bald spot, which is the reason my yarmulke has grown over the years and there's no longer hiding it. It's only so long, so big you can grow up. He claims, he said he complained about the religious discrimination and harassment the next day, but he was told by an HR worker to wait it out. So you have, even in our time, just a few years ago, a case of a lawsuit revolving around the question of wearing a yarmulke at work. Another arena where it comes up is in the military, on page two. Pentagon relaxes rules on religious clothing and appearance in military uniforms, allowing turbans, headscarves, and yarmulkes. So the military relaxed and allowed one to wear a yarmulke, even in a military setting. So first of all, where does that name yarmulke come from? The word that we use to describe, we call it in Hebrew a kippah, the iron dome. Kippat HaBarzel, iron dome. It's a yarmulke is a dome. It sits on top of our head. It's a kippah, it's a dome. So where does the word yarmulke itself come from? So there's a great article in the journal Chakirin back in 2007 by Dan Rabinowitz, and he writes the following there. It's on page 3. The source of the word is unclear. Some maintain it is derived from the Turkish word yarmuluk, meaning rainwear. Others argue the word is derived from a combination of two Turkish words, yarim, half, and kap, hat, or a half or small hat. The folk etymology links yarmulke with two Aramaic words, yira, malka. Yarmulke, yira, fear, awe of malka, of heaven. See the origin of the word yarmulke and so on. The word yarmulke has also entered the popular expression. The major dictionaries all have entries for yarmulke. The Oxford English Dictionary defines yarmulke as a skullcap worn by male Orthodox Jews at all times. So I guess the Oxford Dictionary takes a halachic position that a yarmulke has to be worn at all times. Oxford's English second edition, yarmulke, compared with Webster's New England and so on, and American Heritage, yarmulke, skull and cap worn by male Jews, those adhering to the Orthodox or conservative tradition. So interesting, the origin of the word yarmulke. But what is our origin in halachic practice of the idea of covering one's head? So there may be some misconceptions, misperceptions that we will dispel together today. For example, wearing a yarmulke when you make a bracha. Doraisa, derabanan, minhag, or not even halacha at all. The fact that you can't make a bracha, say Hashem's name without a yarmulke, is that a din? Is that a halacha? Is that a law which is a nice thing? Midas chasidus? Is it a minhag, a custom? Is it a derabanan? Is it a doraisa?
Are you asking us of today or historically?
I'm asking you the origin of the halacha. If a person today made a bracha with no yarmulke on, would they violate a din doraisa, derabanan? We had the great privilege of hosting Rav Shechter this past Shabbos. An amazing Rav Shechter is mamash agon, a gadol. And one of the amazing things about Rav Shechter shiurim, or being near him, everything is so clearly and well organized in his head. And when he gives a shiur, it starts with a pasuk, he tells you what's a doraisa, what's a derabanan, how it was derived, what the machlokas, how it came, on any area of halacha. It's just so clearly organized. And he always, I remember in shiur, he's always makpid for his talmidim, for us to know. We have to understand the differences. Is it midas chasidus? Is it minag? Is it derabanan? Is it doraisa? So the Gemara in Kedushin, source number two. The Gemara in Kedushin, Adaf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, tells the following. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kala over Avera b'seisir, Kila dochek ragle shechina. Person who violates an Avera, person who has poor judgment, a person who makes a mistake in private, is as if they push away the presence of the Almighty. Shenemar koma Hashem Hashem kisi v'aret hadom raglai. The Pasuk says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. We're pushing Hashem away. Why? Because when you don't make mistakes in public, then it shows that it's not fear or awe of heaven, but rather fear and awe of others, of your neighbor. But when privately you're willing to sin, then you're pushing Hashem away. Because what you're showing is it was never really about Hashem. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Asu la'adam sheyahalich arba amas bekom mezukufa. You're not allowed to walk. Your posture, when walking, a person shouldn't walk four amos, standing entirely upright, with your nose in the air, arrogantly walking around. Shenemar kot melocho la'aretz kvodo. The entire world is filled with Hashem, not with you. So when you walk in a room, when you're walking in the street, don't walk so arrogantly with your nose in the air as if you've shoved Hashem out of the way. But rather, a person should have hachna with humility and the opposite, inviting Hashem to come in. Good, now we get to relevant for us. Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua says, Lo maske arba amos begilei arosh. Rav Huna, son of Rabbi Yeshua, would not walk for amos with his head uncovered. Why? He gave a reason. Omar, shechina lemala meiroshi. Because Hashem is above my head. So in order to remember, the reminder, he didn't tie a string on his finger. Hashem wasn't at his finger. Hashem was above his head. So in order to remember, in order to be cognizant and mindful and aware always the presence of Hashem wherever and whatever we're doing, he would wear a yarmulke. The yarmulke was above his head as a reminder. So the Gemara in Kedushin tells us here, it sounds like a midas chasidus. It was a nice, virtuous thing Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua did, but the Gemara does not quote it in the context of davening or making a bracha or telling us that we have a halacha. It says he had a personal practice. He wouldn't walk four amos, approximately 6 feet, with his head uncovered. Because if one does, it's arrogant. You feel you're filling the world. You forget that there's a Hashem above us. Chassidus Shesfarim describe that just like there's clothing, which is the modesty of the body, the yarmulke is the modesty of the intellect. Lest you think, I understand, I comprehend, I anticipate, I predict everything, in order to protect from an overconfidence intellectually, we wear a garment that is the modesty of the brain, of the head. So the clothing is the modesty of the body, and a yarmulke is the modesty of the head. In order to not forget, there's a Hashem above. So it sounds so far like it's a midas chasidus. It's just an extra virtuous thing. But the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Ches has a different, gives a different, I'm sorry, says the same thing. The Gemara here says, same halacha, same Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua, lo sagina arba amos b'legi arosh, Amar Rav Sheshe is tasteful to come to a mitzvah tefillin. May a reward come my way because I observe tefillin, and so on and so forth. Same practice. So Gemara Shabbos on Kuf Nun Vav on the base, source number four. Mid Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak Nami Ein Mazal Yisrael, says the Gemara, Ime de Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amre Le Kaldoi. The astrologers once told Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's mother, Bruch Ganavava, your son's going to be a thief. They looked into his horoscope, they saw what constellation he was born under, and they said they predicted that because of his nature, I wrote an article this past week about nature versus nurture, because of his nature, the constellation he's born under, he's going to be a thief. Lo shevakte galuya resei. So as a result, she never allowed him to walk around with his head uncovered. Amrila, she said, cover your head, so you'll always be aware, you'll always remember that Hashem is there. And you'll daven for Hashem's mercy, that the Yetzirah will not overwhelm you. So this Gemara too, these three Gemaras all suggest that covering one's head, wearing a yarmulke, is a midas chasidus. Whether it is the opinion of Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua, who did it simply to remember Hashem was above him, or whether it was the mother of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who said, if he's predisposed to be a thief, to steal, how will I remind him all the time that he's never alone, that there's consequences and accountability if he wears a yarmulke? Now, tragically, we've seen that's not enough of an antidote. There are people who wear yarmulkes who have no problem stealing. Unfortunately, one can even become too accustomed to wearing a yarmulke that they forget they're wearing the yarmulke. We tragically know supposedly from Jews who steal. So far it sounds like a Midas Chasidus. What is the source of this Midas Chasidus? Sorry, the question. Right. So, Malach al-Aretz Kvodo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does fill the entire world. I have to make space for him. I shouldn't be so arrogant as if I push him away. Lamala Mirosh means he's everywhere, but I feel him intensely above my head. Above my head, I feel the weight. It's symbolic. I feel the weight of his presence above my head. I walk around with a sense of mindfulness. Why? Why wear a yarmulke? Why wear a yarmulke? So the Levush, source number 5, Rav Mordechai Yaffe, the Levush in the 16th century says the following. In his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch on Aruchayim, v'yelech yelech b'achna, when you stand up and you walk, one should go b'achna with humility, u'v'kfikvas koma, and the proper position is to be bent over, is to be humble. You walk around with your nose thumbing the air, you walk around standing entirely erect and upright. It's arrogant. A person should walk a little bit bent over, u'v'kfikvas koma, v'lo b'komas kufa, not standing upright. He's quoting exactly our Gemara. And for this very reason, gam kein also lelech arba amos begilei rosh. One should not walk around with their head uncovered. El yichasana, you cover it. Ki aholech begilei rosh, holech bekalos uvekoma zekufa. Because if you walk around with your head uncovered, then instead of feeling the weight of heaven, you are weightless. You act like you have no consequence or accountability. You answer to nobody. And therefore, you'll engage in frivolous behavior. So a person who throws off, who casts off their yarmulke, acts like they're the balabais of the world. Acts like they don't answer to anybody. And therefore, says Lavush, one wears a yarmulke in order to have a mindfulness and awareness of Hashem. The Marshal, source 6 of Shmuel Idels, the Marshal says the following on that Gemara. He says, "Gila reshe, b'shar in shinam yamrin and perakamet gushin deboy kisei rosh. Why umishum deshchina lamala meirosho? Umay rabusa derav Nachman." So, what's the big thing that he wore it? The mother put it on him. Kadosh Baruch Hu is above everybody's head. Everybody has to. Mm-hmm. Whether the psychic friends tells you that you're going to be a thief or not, whatever your horoscope is and whatever you're predisposed towards, everybody has to. So, what's the rabusa that he wore it? The Yikol Neimer, the Imed Rav Nachman, Diktik Alach Has Rosh Otfei Shilo Kovid Rosh BiYoser Mishum Yira Shilo Yeganav. So she had an extra emphasis. He wore a bigger yarmulke, a heavier yarmulke, a bigger emphasis on his head, that he was not just wearing it in order to not forget Hashem was there, but he had the extra need to overcome or combat what was his predisposition. And so on and so forth. They wore, the Rabbanon wore an extra layer. They didn't just wear a yarmulke, they would wrap their head in a sudar. Why? So that's what he's saying here. To wear something on top of your head, that's how you avoid walking around forgetting Hashem. But he, because he was predisposed to be a thief, he needed a more significant or serious reminder. He didn't just have something on his head, he had something more significant that would even be more direct in reminding him. Source number 7 has an interesting chakira, the Lev Avram. I was recently in Eretz Yisrael for my grandson's Pidgin Ben, and my son-in-law took me to Davin at the home, at the Yeshua rabbi, rather, of this Rav Avram Weinfeld, who has had a yeshiva called Lev Avram, and he's put out several sfarim called Lev Avram. And he says the following, we'll read this piece. He offers a big chiddush, a big chiddush, that he says today wearing a yarmulke is not just a midas chasidus. It's not just a nice righteous thing to do. He holds it's a din d'oraisa. Why? We have a mitzvah. I say it's not disputable that we have a positive commandment to have awe and fear of Hashem. Ein Rambam Perek Beis Hilchos Yisurei Torah. Minei lachori yadua chakiras harishurim mitzvahs avos yiras Hashem. Eich shach mizatzivu level yira halos atali b'leiv ha'adam. The famous question that's asked: how can the Torah obligate me both to love God and to fear Him or to have awe of Him? Those are emotions. So the Torah can regulate and legislate behavior. Mm-hmm. Put this on, don't turn that on, say this, listen to this, go there, don't go there, look at this, don't look at that. You can tell me what to do, but how could the Torah, how could religion tell me how to feel? If you don't feel it, how can I command it? Imagine I fall in love with the girl and I want her to marry me, so I command her, love me. She says, I'm sorry, I just don't love you. I command you. I command you to love me. There's no such thing. Love is an emotion. Of course, there's many answers. The Rambam says love is not emotion. Love is a decision. Love is intellect. Learn about God. You'll come to love Him. This is not a shir about Avas Hashem. But Rav Weinfeld says the following. So the answer is you're right. We can't command an emotion. But what we can do are command actions that will lead to that emotion. I can't command how to feel. But I can command what to do with a confidence that if you do the right things, it will generate a feeling. That's what the Rambam says. There in the second parak of Hilchos Yisodei Torah, the Rambam says, "Hey, achi, aderach la'avos av yiraso." How do you come to love or fear God? He says, "B'shoshi is bonin ha'adam." In the moment that a person stops and contemplates b'masav anivram anifloim, when a person feels and thinks about God's wonder, the mastery, the detail, the minutia, the complexity of this universe, miyad, immediately the Rambam says, nisava taiva gedola leidas Hashem, a person is going to be filled with this enormous desire, this insatiable appetite to know God. Put differently, the Rambam says, to know God is to love God. So therefore, when the Torah says you're obligated to love God, what it's obligating us is to know God. And if we come to know God, we can't help but love God. So the Rambam says, how do you fulfill Avas Hashem? Learn Torah and study nature. Learn Torah and read biology. If you see, the two ways you get to know God are through His diary, which is the Torah, His word, and through His creation. Person who didn't get to meet their great-grandparent, but then got access to their diary, is going to come to know them well through their diary. And let's say the great-grandparent didn't leave a diary, but they were a painter, they did art, or they sculpted. You'd come to know them through their artwork. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us both. He gave us the Torah, which is the highest level, His word. And He gave us this world, which when we come to see it and visit and study it, the famous Rav Hirsch, the Alps, Hashem will say, "No, Rav Shamshin, what'd you think of my Alps?" So we come to know Kodesh Baruch Hu through His world too. So therefore, says Rav Weinfeld the following, V'zuka Avanas Rambam Sham, Heyach Adera Lavos, V'yas V'shar Shizbun, Adam, everything we just said, Ayin Sham B'dvarav, what the Rambam was asking was, I need a derech. You can't command a feeling. I need an action. So the Rambam says, tell me the action item. I live off of action items. Tell me the to-do. What's actionable? I need something actionable. Don't just tell me how to feel. And the Rambam's answer is, shatzivu hu la'asos dvar ma'maviyam li'av avayira. Hainu she'iz bonu b'masav kanal. Very interesting interpretation. Now the Rambam, I would have said, is being very specific. Learn Torah, study science, you'll know Hashem's world through the two ways He gave us access to Him. To know Him is to love Him. Rav Weinfeld, the Lev Avram, expands it and says, any means that will increase and promote and reinforce a sense of Ava and Yiras Hashem is a fulfillment of that mitzvah, is a din d'oraisa. If Chazal told us that covering your head is what we can do in order to feel a greater sense of the awe of Hashem, so it means that Chazal revealed to us that one of the behaviors we can do that will result in a sense of love and awe of Hashem is to cover our head. That means that covering our head is a din d'oraisa. So from the Gemara itself, I would have said, midas chasidus. It's a nice idea. The Gemara didn't say it's a din. The Gemara didn't say it's a halachic obligation. It didn't say don't make a bracha, don't daven. It didn't say you're forbidden to walk Dalet Amos without it. The Gemara said it's a nice idea. This was his personal practice. And this mother said, don't, he's going to be a thief. No, better walk around with a huge yarmulke on your head. It'll prevent you from being a thief. Rav Weinfeld says, no. It's not just a midas chasidus, it's a din d'oraisa. It's a fulfillment of a biblical obligation. So he says, din d'oraisa, a big, big chiddush. A big chiddush. Meaning the Gemara gives a mitzvah, love Hashem and have awe of Hashem. And the Gemara doesn't tell us how. The Torah doesn't tell us how. We say this mitzvah every day, multiple times a day. We have a responsibility to love Hashem. Bless you. It shouldn't just be dry intellectual. We are meant to be in a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not for now, that's what we talk about in our Emunah Shiurim. The fact that we are not just doing a bunch of to-dos and not-dos, we're in a relationship. Relationships have intimacy and connection and affection and communication. We're in a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're supposed to feel His presence, invite His presence, behave in a way that He would want to be present. We're in a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Torah just says, love Him and have awe of Him. Torah never tells us how. And that's what the Rishonim come along and say, how could you command an emotion? So Rav Weinfeld is understanding when the Rambam says, Heyach yaderech lavaso v'yiraso, how do you do it? What the Rambam is saying is, the Torah didn't tell us how to do it. Torah told us, bring about the result. What is the means to bring about that result? In every generation, or you listen to Chazal, and Chazal say, this is the behavior, and these are the action items, and this is what you need to do in order to bring about the result. So for the Rambam, how do you bring about that result? Know God. To know God is to love God. If you know God, you'll both love Him, and the more you understand His world, the more you study about the cosmos and the stars and the planets and the constellations, the more you're going to be filled with a sense of awe and reverence for Hashem. For the Rambam, it's intellectual. Know God, and knowledge, it's a knowledge that inevitably and invariably leads to a sense of love. The commentary, the Peirush on the side of the Rambam, I didn't forget his name. It just says Peirush in this commentary on the side of the Rambam. It explains that there's two types of love. There's an Ava Teluya B'davar and an Ava Eina Teluya B'davar. There's a love which is conditional and there's an unconditional love. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. A conditional love means that if you take me out for lunch once a week, if you pay for my rent, if you buy me nice things, if you make me feel good about myself and compliment me, I love you. You give me things and I love you as a result. That's a conditional love. An unconditional love means it doesn't depend on your giving me anything. It doesn't depend on your making me feel better about myself. I have an unconditional love. And the parish says, what's the difference between the two? What's the difference between the two? I said this at my L'chaim. The night I got engaged to Yecheved, I said this about the hope of the relationship we would have. Because this is a model not just of Avas Hashem, right? Shir Shirim, it's the model of how we're supposed to experience relationships too, with an unconditional love. Not I love you, you take out the garbage, I wash the dishes. You bring home the money, I do the laundry. It's not a love which is conditional, that's an Ava Teluya B'davar. An Ava She'ena Teluya B'davar means I see qualities in you which I admire, which I'm drawn to, which I look up to, which I want to emulate. And you know, even if you were to never talk to me, if you have no idea who I am, if our paths never cross, if we have no relationship, but I just know about you, I can love you from a distance. An unconditional love I can have from a distance. I just to know you, I know who you are and what you stand for and what you've accomplished and what you've achieved and who you are that draws me to you. It's an Ava She'ena Teluya B'davar. So the Rambam says, Hey Achi Yaderech, how do you get to that? For the Rambam, it's intellectual. Says Rav Weinfeld, the Lev Avram, if Chazal tell us that one of the ways to get that result is to wear a yarmulke, and that result is a chiyuv d'oraisa, it means that wearing a yarmulke is a chiyuv d'oraisa. It's an einfa, it's a big chiddush. A big, big chiddush. Yes? We do that through tzitzis. Right, that's through tzitzis. I said, so for us, we would find it very peculiar to find somebody walking around with a tzitzis out who doesn't wear a yarmulke. That would be a very peculiar and bizarre image to us, right? Someone who walks around with a tzitzis out, but no yarmulke. And yet it seems, essentially that's the halacha. Tzitzis daraisa, and a yarmulke, other than for the Lev Avram, is at most a midas chasidus. Unless it's a clarification question, if I could ask you to hold off, because I want to get through this material. Clarification, yes.
Because
I made a leap, or he made a leap?
No, no, a leap. Because I think what he's saying is that to listen to the Rabbanon is a midoraisa.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
He talks about putting the yarmulkes on the segula, because if not, what you're saying really that every midrabbanon is midoraisa according to you.
No, he says memela. Look what he says, Phil. Memela im chazal horu lano vegilu lano to do it. Memela mechuyav manu midin Torah.
So every
that's a separate question, not for now. That's that Rav Shechter spoke about that Shabbos morning. That's a question of every Lo Sasur, every Din Darabonon is really Daraisa, and the famous Rambam, why Safik Daraisa Lachumra, Safik Darabonon, the cool, every Darabonon is a Daraisa, Safik Darabonon should be Lachumra too, not our topic for now. So is this Din Daraisa Darabonon? So from the Gemara it sounds like a Midas Chasidus. The Lev Avram has a big Chiddush to say it's Daraisa. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch Harav, if you look at the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, source number 8, on page number 5, he says the following. Midas Chasidus shel lelechta al haramis b'gilei harosh. He says, it's a Midas Chasidus. To wear a yarmulke is a nice thing. Not only is it not d'orais, it's not the Rabbanon. Gam b'yameim sherov ha'am ha'yurigin lelech lefamim har b'gilei harosh, ne'achom b'yamim ha'em, b'ba'ach shebezman hazeh shekulam darchem lechassos rosham, li'olam asa lelech ha'afil leishe b'gilei harosh, mishum tznias. He says that was true in Talmudic times. When people walked around without yarmulkes, it was hot, it was uncomfortable, and that was the normal behavior. But today, where the Jewish people have adopted a universal custom that observant Torah Jews cover their head, today, says the Alter Rebbe, it's also not only to walk Dal Ramas with your head uncovered, it's also to sit with your head uncovered. And what's the word he uses? Mishum? Tznius. This is what I alluded to you earlier. That the Chassidus Shesvarim, the Alter Rebbe here and others say, Tznius, what's the Tznius? My bald spot? That's Tznius. That's going to arouse anyone? That's going to attract anyone? The bald spot on top of my head? What exactly am I covering up or protecting? Where's the modesty? He doesn't mean Tznius as in Tznius, modesty, physical temptation. It's an intellectual modesty. To feel Hashem's presence above our head. Not to feel I'm limitless. Not to feel that my intellectual capacity is infinite. The tznius, says the Alter Rebbe, is the notion of the tznius. So what used to be midas chasidus has transformed and transitioned today to become law. But if you look at the Marshal, Rav Shlomo Luria, source number 9, the author of the Yamsha Shlomo, here in his Tshuva Simanayim Beis, he says the following, L'misha rosha kovid yesh lo hetu leisha v'lecho b'gilei rosh. Tshuva, listen to what the Marshal says. This is the Marshal. The Heilige Marshal. Ein ani yodea iser levarech below kisei rosh. Psh. Says the Marshal, I don't know of a halacha, I don't know of a din, where it says that you're not allowed to make a bracha with your head uncovered. He says, Pasha lo shasavaz kreshem below kisei rosh, v'lo yadonam imai. He says, it's Pasha, he quotes, that you're allowed to say Hashem's name, even with your head uncovered. And he quotes several sources. When you're poris hashma, what do you have to be wearing as a minimum? And so on and so forth. So the Marsha says, you know, far be it from me to disagree with those earlier, but I can't find any din, any halacha, that says you're not allowed to say Hashem's name with your head uncovered, that you're not allowed to daven and say Shema with your head uncovered. That's the halacha. Look on the left-hand column, second line. He says, V'gilei rosh embo Yisrael ha-sharaf hu nehich me'al atzma mikoch midas chasidus. V'achshav hu lehepach. V'kom eskufa einen nisarim. V'adar rabba. Again, Ashirim Hochem Nituye Garon Vigil Rosh Nisarim Lomachmas Chasidus El Sovim Das Yehudasi. He says it's ironic. It's a din that you're not allowed to walk around arrogant, but that people are lenient on. They walk around arrogantly all the time. And the wearing the yarmulke is just a midas chasidus. And that, people act and treat like it's a din d'oraisa. We've reversed it and inversed it. We have it backwards. We have it backwards. And if you skip down, he says, V'shamati achacham echek shayalomed, ayalomed begilei rosh. He heard of one Talmud Chacham who, when he sat and learned, he would learn with his head uncovered. Because covering his head was hot, it was uncomfortable. Really, there's no halacha that says when you're learning, if you're not mentioning God's name, there's no halacha at all that you have to have your head covered. But nevertheless, the minug, the custom, we have what we call Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. We invoke this in the area of Tznius. We have Das Moshe means Torah law, and Das Yehudis means the common custom. And the common custom becomes the law for that area. So he says, even though strictly speaking, a Talmud Chacham could even learn Torah, could listen to the Daf Yomi with their head uncovered, if they're not mentioning God's name. But it's not proper for a Talmud Chacham. He's going against Das Yehudis. Even if he's learning privately, he should not rely on it. And now he goes crazy in the Marshal. Listen to what he says. So the Marshal says, even if you're alone, don't learn with your head uncovered, because you think you're alone, it's Maris Ayin. And when Chazal talk about Marasayin, they talk about it b'chadrei chadarim, even in a very private inner room, because you're never really alone. We, our generation, understands that. You're never really alone. You're in the room with Alexa, and with Siri, and with the Ribbono Shalom, but meaning someone could see and misinterpret. Hold on one more second. So he says, now let me tell you, the Ashkenazim, b'vadai mishashur shal yayin nesach b'malon shal goyim, v'ochal dogim b'vushalom b'kelim shalahem, v'amachmir hu shemal n'punta kishalo b'shalo, listen to what he says. I have it there in the translation. I'll now reveal the hypocrisy of the Ashkenazim. A person can drink Yayin Nesach in a non-Jewish tavern, eat cooked fish in violation of Bishlakim in non-Jew kosher pots. No one questions his religiosity, and people will show the person respect if he's wealthy and powerful. But a person eats and drinks only kosher food, but does so without a yarmulke, people consider it as if he walked away, he's off the derech of Yiddishkeit. And they have it backwards. They have it totally backwards, yells the Maharshal. The halacha of covering your head, it's a nice idea, it's not a halacha. You can make a bracha, you can daven. It's a nice idea, it's a midas chasidus. So someone who's strict with halacha but keeps their head uncovered, we dismiss. But the person who covers their head and wears a super big yarmulke, but is not careful, that person we admire, we have it backwards. And he says, let's say you wake up in the middle of the night, you want a cup of water, you're not wearing a yarmulke. You don't wear a shlufkuf. So you're going to take your hand and you put it on your head, that's enough. Because really, you don't even have to do that. So if you do that, we'll see, others reject that. And others say, if it's a part of your own body, that's not considered covering your head. We'll get to that momentarily. But the Marshal says, you wake up in the middle of the night, or you're in the bathroom, in the bed, you're coming out of a place where you don't have a yarmulke, so you could use your sleeve, yeah, we'll get to. Right. We'll see if that's good enough for the Marshal. You didn't even need that. For the Marshal, it's good enough to only use your hand. Yes, Rabbi. No. But since there's this Midas Chasidus, so for a Talmud Chacham, it'd be Maris Ayin that the Talmud Chacham is not observing the Midas Chasidus.
If you're covering your head, the Alter Rebbe is saying that it's a
lot. So, good. So the Alter Rebbe is saying originally it was Midas Chasidus, but today, now, yeah. Now today, maybe it's risen to that level, which we'll get to right now. How? Just clarification questions.
If you're covering your head with your hand, I think you're more aware of the fact that something's above you than if you have a yarmulke.
Maybe we'll get to. Just clarification questions. How big does the yarmulke have to be? What is the minimum size of wearing a yarmulke? So Rav Avadya in a Tshuva source 10, in Yechavadas Chelik Dalet, Rav Avadya, the Tshuva is much longer than this. I just condensed it, consolidated it to just the Shaila and the Sikkum. So he writes here in the summary, or the question. Haimakipa shalarosh tirchalachasas says, kol arosh, does the yarmulke have to cover most of your head? Or all of your head, or ruba, most of it? Oshema in shir miyuchal legodal akipa, or maybe there's no minimum measure, v'day bekoshu, and any amount would suffice. Says Rav Avadya, mutter men adin alechas bekipa kitana shalarosh, alfa pishen machasas rov arosh. That really you'd be allowed to wear some communities in Israel have the custom they wear a yarmulke. It's so small, the bobby pin is bigger than the yarmulke. The clip of the bobby pin is actually bigger than the yarmulke. So Rav Avadya says, that's also a yarmulke. Rav Avadya tia nikeres veniras mikol tzadi arosh milifnimu me'achor. So Rav Avadya's definition of the minimum measure of a kippah, of a yarmulke, is it has to be visible from all sides. It also tells you, therefore, how you should be wearing your yarmulke. Some people wear the yarmulke all the way in the back, all the way in the front. If you're wearing a yarmulke in a way that somebody wouldn't see you wearing a yarmulke, someone sees a picture of you and they're not sure if you're wearing the yarmulke. So for Rav Avadya, the yarmulke should be big enough and positioned in a way that anyone on either side, any side of you, would know you're wearing the yarmulke. Uvashas kriya shema tefila v'koshin gein birchas amazon roi lahakbe lachvash kova. And Rav Avadya, the Sephardi authority, says, when you say Shema Shmona Esrei, and all the more so Birchas Hamazon, a bracha ala kos needs atifa, person should be strict. If you're wearing a tiny little yarmulke, the atifa that you're wearing, or the chol apachas kippah machasas rov harosh, or at least for that, you should wear a yarmulke that covers most of your head. That's why many have a custom to wear a talus over their head in the morning when they're davening. That's atifa sarosh for Shema and for Birchas Hamazon. I once, when I was in the Gris Kolel, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, would come give shir once a week, and occasionally he would give a shir, they called it a press conference. It was an open mic, open questions with Rav Lichtenstein. So I once asked Rav Lichtenstein, I said, it seemed to me to be incongruous or inconsistent. Those who wear the talus over the head at Shacharis, shouldn't they be wearing a hat at Mincha and Maariv? If you're wearing the talus over your head, you're conceding that you should have atifa. So shouldn't that mean that to be consistent you should? So he disagreed. He said no, and he explained why. But then he added in, he said, I want you to know, for me personally, certainly his Talmidim don't follow this, but Lichtenstein learned early in Chaim Berlin, was a Talmud of Rav Huttner before he came to YU. He said he personally can't imagine davening without his head covered with a hat, and that he would walk many miles, I remember vividly he said this, I would walk many miles to get a hat to avoid davening without it, but that's not the halacha, and many don't follow it, and that's fine. So Rav Avadya here says, if you wear a yarmulke of any size, as long as it's visible from all sides, that's the minimum measure that is visible on all sides. Preferable, it should be bigger. For davening, and all the more so for benching, you should really have atifa sarosh, you should have something wrapping your head, something like a hat large enough to be considered atifa. If you don't have that, at least have a yarmulke that's big enough that it's covered rov harosh, most of your head. That's the position of Rav Ovadia. Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this as well, page number 7, source number 11. Rav Moshe has many tshuvas on yarmulke. We're going to see how many we get through, and whether we finish this whole shir, maybe we'll continue with this next week. Rav Moshe says, what is the minimum shir? V'kisoy miktas harosh l'inyan leilich b'rachov l'inyan bracha. Hinei bedover kisa miktas harosh kigon b'yarmulke ketana. If you're wearing a small yarmulke, mutar leilich kach b'rachov k'mo sharosh rab mir Hashem dogen leilich yin b'rachov. Now, what does he mean by a small yarmulke? In other words, these definitions are subjective. So, small could be what we consider a big yarmulke, but it's not covering Rov HaRosh. You know, Rav Moshe wore like a Litvish yarmulke. You ever see Rav Moshe? You know, talking the flat top, and he wore like a Rosh Hashiva. Oh, in the picture. There you go. Right. Yeah. Right. So, for Rav Moshe, that's a normal yarmulke. So he says, can you wear a small yarmulke? It might be for us a very big. My yarmulke compared to that one would be a small yarmulke, even though most people would objectively define it as a big yarmulke. So he wants to know, we see that Rabbi Meir Hashem Noagim Leilich Kein Berachov, most Yir Hashem are walking this way. Aval, he says, look at the tshuva of Rav Shlomo Kluger in Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo, to be kisoy miktas mati rak bepachas midal ramos, begila kol rosh osar afil pachas midal ramos, brotzalei daita akulusha eich leis noig lemaisa. So Rav Shlomo Kluger has a big chiddush, and Rav Shlomo Kluger says, less than Dalet Amos, it's usher to walk around without your head covered at all. You can wear a tiny small yarmulke. More than Dalet Amos, you can't do unless it's Rov HaRosh, most of your head covered. So the questioner wanted to know, does Rav Moshe agree with this position of Rav Shlomo Kluger that in order to walk Dalet Amos, in order to walk 6 feet or more, you need a yarmulke that covers Rov HaRosh, the majority of your head? V'hinei divrei hagaon Rav Shlomo Kluger t'muim l'chora ma'od. Says Rav Moshe, I don't know where Rav Shlomo Kluger got this from. Eichav shalafarish ma'ashanemar b'gemara kedushin, the gemara we saw, and the gemara Shabbos that we saw, shelo b'gilei arosh mamash, elashayim mechusav arak miktas arosh. Rav Shlomo Kluger again said, less than dalet amos? It's also to walk around at all without a yarmulke. But small yarmulke is enough. But more than dalet amos, that's not what the Gemara says. It says, Rav Moshe, go back to the Gemara Shabbos and the Gemara in Kedushin. Dafim ayelo eza kusha shaisa meturetas perish kazeh, eich shaykh latarit bedavar shuloka mafurish gilei arosh perusha magula. V'loom bedavka mechusas mashu. V'parat she'in shem hechach lefarish perish kazeh, she'akoponim huzar bedochuk. It is a strange and non-compelling answer. So Rav Moshe says, maybe Rav Shlomo Kluger was answering some question by giving that big chiddush in the Gemara, but that's not what the Gemara means. That's not what the Gemara says. V'gam Halavad says more. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua Kana b'Shabbos l'nitzkar b'shir makom sheish iser. V'lof midas chasidus apigili kol arosh adraba b'harbi mekomos mafur she'im b'ze iser. He says not only does the Gemara not suggest that it's asur, we have explicitly in some places it says, like the Gra quotes, Im Kain, Minolei Dasa Begili Kol Arosh, Ap Pachos Bidal Ramos, and B'malkam Zed Rav Hanabed Rav Yeshua, M'farish Shudal Ramos Davka. So therefore, the opinion of Shlomo Kluger, he says, does not make sense. Does not make sense. So what's his explanation? What's his pshat? So turn the page. It's a long tshuva here. We're not going to read all of it. We have a lot more material to cover. So we're Lachain Lamaisa, we're the box, page 8. But Lachain Lamaisa, Harutz Lahachmer, Velachar Shaldasa Gunner Shlomo Kluger, Tsarach Lachas, as Rov Rosha, Shu Barov Hakovim, over Yalmakas Hagedolim. So if you want to fulfill this minority opinion of Shlomo Kluger, you can get an exceptionally big yarmulke or walk around wearing a hat. Avaladina, Ein Machuyavin Lachar Shaldaito, Kevin Shidas Yachid. But strictly speaking, that's not the halacha. He is not only a minority, he is a singular opinion. Especially since this whole halacha is not even a din d'oraisa, it's not even a din d'rabbanan. The whole institution of wearing a yarmulke is just the midas chasidus. So how does Rav Moshe define a yarmulke? Interesting definition. The minimum measure of a yarmulke for a Moshe is that someone would say to you, your head is covered. You have a head covering on. If what is on top of your head is that you have a head covering on, then that's wearing a yarmulke. So Rav Avadya said, Rov Rosho, preferably the majority of your head in order to say those things, but at least enough that it's visible on all four sides. Rav Moshe says, the definition of a yarmulke is that someone would look at you and say, your head is covered. And then he says on the next page at the end of the tshuva. He says, "Hayanir l'nizaiti d'leich dal ramos af shikra adim midas chasidus al akvar nagu kol yisrael blessed l'sanai b'midas chasidus zeh afilu anoshim pshutim avol midas chasidus la'yichidim amistagim chasidus v'chein l'chol tamachochem yesh lahachmer shleil b'gilai rosh afilu b'pachos dal ramos." Like the Maharshal had said, tamachochem has a higher level. Uladini yesh lesser afilu b'yeshiv mitzad chok akom kataz. However, Moshe now throws in a curveball. And he says all of this was still talking about the notion of the source of not walking around with your head uncovered. However, we now have another factor. And what's that other factor we now have? The question of chukas ha'akum. Non-Jews walk around with their head uncovered. So if a Jew walks around with their head uncovered, are they now engaging in the practice of the non-Jew? Is that a violation of chukas ha'akum? So Moshe says that's the source of today, an observant Torah Jew, to be a member of the observant Torah community, the default is, the universal practice is, you wear a yarmulke to avoid chukas ha'akum. So again, let's summarize where we're at. The word yarmulke, we saw the origin of its etymology, maybe yarmulke, the Turkish origin of it, the word yarmulke. Where does this notion of a kippah of the yarmulke come from? Three Gemaras, two in Shabbos, one in Kiddushin. The idea that in order to feel Hashem's presence above his head, he was always walking around with a yarmulke. Or his mother made him wear a yarmulke in order to avoid becoming a thief to feel the presence of Hashem. Both of those Gemaras sound like they're Midas Chasidus. It's just a nice idea. However, maybe it turned from the nice idea into a more bona fide binding halacha. Why? Either because of Rabbi Weinfeld's argument that by wearing a yarmulke we promote Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, therefore it's a din d'oraisa. Or maybe now there's a notion of chukaseim lo selechu, not to be following the practices of the non-Jew, and therefore we wear a yarmulke. We wear a yarmulke. And when we can't wear a yarmulke, because for some reason you're visiting Europe, you wear a baseball hat. But a Jew doesn't walk around with their head uncovered. Should be very uncomfortable. Mishnah Berurah quotes a practice, this is not the halacha, that it's good to sleep in a yarmulke. You wear a shlufkof, you get a nice big yarmulke, you put it on. My son sleeps with a yarmulke. We bought him a nice big white yarmulke. It says a gute nacht on it. You can get them. You get Laila Tov, a gute nacht, good night. He's got several of them. It's a big yarmulke. It sits on your head. And your person feels, I wear a yarmulke when I go to sleep too. If I were to be one moment with my head uncovered, I would feel naked. I always have a yarmulke. I always have something on top of my head. That's not the halacha, the araisa, the rabbana, maybe meet this chasidus, but today in the world we live, I don't know if it's promoting Yerushalayim or not. I hope it does. We heard from Rav Shechter and Shabbos, our generation needs some work in that area. We have access to a lot more Torah, but we have a lot less Yerushalayim than the generations that come before. Our yarmulke should be getting bigger, not smaller, with the hope that it adds to our Yerushalayim. So now the question is, after everything that we saw, what's the halacha in the workplace? What would you say? Today, given the other variable of chukas ha'akum, today, given the other factor of what non-Jews do, would you say that today it's binding to be wearing the yarmulke much more than just a nice pious practice, and therefore you have to wear it at work? Or could you be lenient? So we have two traditions, two points of view, a strict tradition and a lenient tradition, and we'll try to go through both. First is the tshuva of the Mari Bruna, of Yisrael ben Chaim of Bruna. He lived in the 15th century, and his tshuva is Lamed Dalet. Source 12, the bottom of page 9. Maisa Beruvain, Shalom Begile Arosh, Bifnei Asara. Ruvain walked in front of 10 people with his head uncovered. Uboecha min atalmidim, vira, umichabo. And one of his students saw and confronted him, challenged him. Velo ashkachale, and he didn't listen to him. Vinada talmidim leruvain. So therefore they wanted to put him in chayrim. He walked around with his head uncovered in front of 10 people. How could you walk with your head uncovered? Veshafti v'niduyav nadui. Even though really the origin of this of the Gemara is only someone who's a great person should walk around with their head covered. From the Gemara it sounds like there is some flexibility. It's not obligated or incumbent on everyone. So why should someone be put in chayram because he wasn't? So he says, "Anan de dairinan ben haumos, we who live among the nations, ve'inu azle begile arosh, and they specifically walk around with their head uncovered, v'chasher kechukas hagoyim. Therefore, it now rises to the level of chukas ha'akum to have your head uncovered. V'lo minkar binson ela bekisei arosh, and the only way that we're identifiable and recognizable is by covering our head. Chashev hashta ka'over al das yehudas." So now what began only as a nice idea has morphed in our time into a binding Das Yehudas, a binding halacha, that in order to avoid Chukas Ha'akum, you have to Kedarmin and Biksuvas, Yotzbegili Arosh, Chashiv Ka'over Adas. V'agav Ze Amina, Davka Alicha, Val Yeshiva Begili Arosh, Laka Kpeda, Shekein Derech Leshev Lahaka Ha'alav. So even the Ma'ari Bruna back in the 15th century says, listen, you're sitting at home, it's a hot day, your head could be uncovered. I'm just talking about when you're walking around. The chukas ha'akum is to walk around with your head uncovered. To sit with your head uncovered, that we don't have to be so makbid on. So therefore, the complaint or the protest of the students against this Ruvain, Reb Ruvain, was a correct, legitimate protest, even back in the 15th century, because now that the non-Jewish practice has become to walk around with your head uncovered, the Jewish practice must be to cover your head. That's the Ma'ari Bruna. The Ma'aram Brisk, Source 13, bottom page 10. Maram Brisk is of Mordechai Brisk, 1886 to 1944. So he says the following. He says, essentially reinforcing the same idea. We're not going to read it inside. You can learn it on your own if you like. That what being bareheaded began as a midas chasidus, but because of the chukas ha'akum, the way of the nations of the world, it's morphed and it's changed. We were redeemed from Mitzrayim, because we preserved our dress. So today, our dress that distinguishes us from the non-Jew is to have our head covered. The non-Jew has their head uncovered. The Jew has their head covered. A non-Jew walks into a room and it's inappropriate to wear their hat. They davka take the hat off. They uncover their head. So they uncover, we cover. For it to not be chukas akum. They wear a tie, and I'm wearing a tie. 100%. I agree. So, I think the difference you'd say is that the tie is a fashion statement. There's no religious component whatsoever. But maybe, I don't know, do they take their head uncovered? Tie. Right. Whereas they take the... Right. I mean, it could be hard to argue that it's chukas akum. It's also, it's a funny chukas ha'akum because it's a passive chukas ha'akum. It's not a chukas ha'akum of a positive practice. It's a passive not wearing something. Although it could be, again, this notion that, you know, when you walk in, or again, the non-Jew walks into a room, they uncover their head.
They say that when they go to their churches, they take off.
They take the hat off. Right. So that's a religious practice that it would be inappropriate to wear something on your head in a church. So we... That would be the religious component of the chukas ha'akam of it. Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's complicated how to apply this, how to measure this exactly. Yes. But if it's not wearing a yarmulke. Today the yarmulke is the statement, is the affirmation of Yerushalayim. I aspire for Yerushalayim, and this is my uniform, the card carrying. Yeah, that's what developed among the Ashkenazim. For Sephardim, it did not develop in that way. It could be an incredibly pious Sephardi, and you don't have the practice necessarily. It didn't, that what began in the Gemara is Amidas Chasidus, that among the Ashkenaz chain became a halacha at some point. We saw the Alter Rebbe and others. Didn't happen among the Sephardim. Maybe when you walk into a mosque, the minhag is not to uncover your head. So for Ashkenaz, for a church, the minhag is to uncover your head. So maybe that would be the difference. Yeah. Right. Yeah, the Rambam did. The Rambam ostensibly did. Okay, let's go weiter. The Ber Moshe, thank you, perfect transition. Reb Moshe Stern, the Debrett Sinner, source 14. Nishalti, he says, I was asked in Matzion Lomisha Leparnasa, but tonight Shatzarach Lias Bemerkas, Shasham Ovid Begili Arosh. You receive a job, you get an appointment, and you're going to be working in a place, in a center, where no one covers their head. So the only way in order to get an income, if you're a parnasa, can you accept a job in a place where you won't be able to wear a yarmulke? That was the question that was asked of Reb Moshe Stern, of the Ber Moshe. And he says, I answered, api halacha yesh makom lahatir. Strictly speaking, one could defend the possibility of the practice of working there with your head uncovered. My advice, if you start to walk around with your head uncovered, you're going to not feel the yoke of heaven. When you wear a yarmulke, you're not going to necessarily go in the bar or go to that place of ill repute or stand by the water cooler and exchange lewd profanity. By wearing the yarmulke, it will help regulate our behavior. But the moment that you take the yarmulke off, he says, and you fit in, and you look like you fit in, and there's no barrier that's reminding you that you're different, an answer to a different standard, it could lead, slippery slope. V'yiftach b'Hashem sh'yazman l'parnasasa, and you should have faith in Hashem that I'll give you your parnasa behetiv v'lo be'isr. Kibal dvarai be'ezras Hashem, achar zeh matzah mokam parnasa yoser tov me'arishon. He said, the questioner accepted my advice, and in the end, got a job, and it was better than the first job. And now he goes into the tshuva, and he explains. So first here in Ayah Aleph, he quotes our Gemara and Kiddushin that we saw, and he quotes here the Marshal and the tshuva that we saw, this Marshal, and he quotes these different positions. And then he writes, he quotes the Shlomo Kluger, Ha'alef l'chashlomo, he quotes the Shlomo Kluger that Reb Moshe had quoted, and he says at the top of the left-hand column, Bizmanenu, Haholach Megillah Rosh over Alav Devechuk Hosein L'Seleichu. He quotes the Taz, that in our time, the Taz says, we have another variable, namely, what non-Jews do, and you'd be violating Chukoseim. The Kakasu B'Tshuvas Mari Bruna we saw. The Esher Shebizmanenu V'Prat Kam B'Medinas Artos Abris. He says, especially in our time, here in America, Shagoyim Ba'atzma Ruba Ruba Einam Aminim B'Chukoseim Shal Me'az. L'Divrei HaTaz Ein Makom La'asor. Maybe now you wouldn't say that. Most of the non-Jews walking through the street today are not religiously practicing non-Jews. And they're not keeping their head uncovered as some religious statement. Even though the argument of the Taz that it's a bechukosei lo seleichu is less compelling today, because the average non-Jew is really secular, and they're not keeping their head uncovered as a religious statement, still, we have accepted this as a binding practice for the observant Torah community, and therefore we see somebody's chezkas kashrus. You wouldn't hire a mashkiach for the ORB who goes to work and checks for bugs, who's not wearing a yarmulke. You wouldn't trust the owner of the store, he says that Mashomer Shabbos, if somebody happens to see him at the Dolphin game, and he was sitting begili rosh, his head was uncovered. Today, the symbol, the sign of what's become the chezkas kashrus for us, is for the person's head to be covered. Then he quotes in Beis, he says, Matzasi, B'chidush Chassam Sofer, B'zmanin makpidim ma'od ma'od. Chassam Sofer says, we are extremely vigilant. Mibli legalos ros, machshos megal leposheya. A person who uncovers their head, walks with their head uncovered, is a posheya. Lo nagu avosenu kem mitam minag prishos v'yira shemayim. He quotes very strong language from the Chassam Sofer. And therefore he quotes in Gimel, ula'achel fi anishma gamata b'zmanin, in our time, agoyim scharim hochan lebeis tfilosim rak begilei rosh. The men who go to church only do it with the head uncovered. You wouldn't walk into a church with a baseball cap or with your head covered. He says one can argue that it's even more true. True, the average person on the street is more secular, is less religious, but the religious ones who do go to church, their minhag is to uncover their head in church, and therefore, for us to have our head uncovered would be a violation of Chukoseim Lo Seilechu. Page 12, he says the following about 10 lines down. Let's go back up a little bit. Here, I'll read you the whole story. Go back to the earlier page. Sorry. He says, now let me tell you a story. I want to give you a story. Edus. Shamayim v'aretz. Shepam haya lefanai din Torah. Once I had a din Torah, ish v'ishto. Me'akas ha-mischadshim. Ava shomer Shabbos. V'taras ha-mishbacha. Ava balav ha-chi chayem k'chayechem me'artos ha-bristam. He says, among the community, we won't give it a name or a label, of people who, yeah, they keep Shabbos and Taras Mishpacha, but other than that, they look like every other secular American. And if you'd run into him outside, his dress and his mode of speaking, you would not even know he's Jewish. From head to toe, they're not identifiable as a holy Yid. From head to toe, they fit right into American culture, American style, American fashion. You wouldn't even know that they keep Shabbos. He says, I was counseling this couple, and they're in the middle of battling and fighting and hurling insults at each other. So she said, I don't want to embarrass him so much in front of the great rabbi. Before the Beis Din. He says she has to reveal something. She says, but I have to tell you something. In this divorce battle, I want to let you know about him, that he comes home at night, and he sits in his recliner, and he kicks back with his American newspaper, and he takes his yarmulke off. B'sayim advarah, and she finishes, Chile ish kazeh over aver gedola kazu, yesh l'hamen. So the Beis Din, a husband and wife, are going through divorce proceedings, and they're battling over custody and finances and whose fault it is. And she turns to the Beis Din and she says, you know what my most compelling evidence is? My makav apakash, why you should listen to me, not him? Would you believe that this lowlife Isvarf comes home every night from work? He kicks back in a recliner, takes off his yarmulke, and reads the newspaper. He went pale. He was humiliated and embarrassed. Amad mikiso, he got up from his chair. Va'amar lo ha'emes itach. The truth is with you. Efshar shaverizu garma likoma sha'asisa. Asisi. V'nis paisu ze'em ze'e v'hochu lahem lebesam. She said, you're right. You know what? The truth is with you. Maybe because I started uncovering my head, that's what led me to all my mistakes, including the one that we're fighting over. You're right. Tzadka mimeni. You're right. I'm wrong. They went home and they lived happily ever after. Harei lecha, shegam etzal hamadorna, hameschad shem gilei roshu, chet chomer ma'od ma'od v'nikra posheya. Says the Debre Tzinner, you see, even by the modern Orthodox, wearing a yarmulke is a big deal. V'gambis manenu anu misha over v'holich v'osa masa b'gilei rosh, ramachi varish, shagidei, kol adam is dazev, yesh lasar behechlet. This is one of the definitions of an observant Jew. Shabbos, Taras HaMishpacha, Kashrus, and does he wear a yarmulke or does he walk Begilei Rosh? He says, therefore, it's the halacha. And he therefore concludes, you cannot accept a job if it will require you to uncover your head. So significant, so strong, such an obligation, you should not accept the job if it will cause you to have to uncover your head. We'll have to stop here. We'll pick up with this part two next week. You see here tshuva by the Minchas Yitzchak, and then several tshuvas by...
You want to collect these?
I'll take them back, and we'll pick up with these source sheets and Mitzvah Shem next week.